This is Superfast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here, and this is one of my favorite modules of wealthification. Of course, it's cash flow. Because cash flow is what it's all about. We're in this to make money. That's why we have a business. Hopefully, you'll be making a profit instead of a loss, and this will be a fantastic outcome for you. One of the biggest things that comes up with business is timing. And what we want to do with cash flow is we want to get paid in full in advance before we do the work or deliver the goods. If you run a business where you have to do work and then get paid, that can be dicey and you'll have bad debts. So if you want to eliminate bad debts, then what you want to do is set up a business model where you get paid first. One of the best ways to do that, of course, is to set up packages and put up your package prices, get paid, and then deliver the work. If you want to look for examples of this in business, places like car dealerships will receive money for a car and then deliver the car. Sometimes they'll do a finance plan, but they still get paid by the finance company. Somebody gets paid before that car leaves the dealership. Now, if you look at other industries like trades, then what you'll see is plumbers and electricians, even dentists, will do work and then do an invoice and get paid in arrears. And that can be deadly because they need all the costs of infrastructure, materials, and do the labor, and then they might get paid if they're lucky. Now, the smart people set up packages where they get paid in advance, and that is the way to go. Money now is more valuable than money later. If you have $100 today, that's more valuable to you than $150 in a fortnight, because you can take that $100 and you can invest it back into the business to get more resources, to get more marketing and accelerate your customer growth. The best thing of all is you get a compound effect. One of the beauties of online businesses, for example, is that you can get paid in advance and then deliver the service and you have no debt. So the aim of the business generally will to be cash flow positive and do your work in arrears. And sometimes if you do bundles, especially if you sell time, then you may never even have to deliver on the balance of the goods. So get paid up front. Of course, the big conversation always comes up around pricing. How much to charge? Well, the first thing is avoid discounting. If you take the price stance, you are in a race to the bottom. You're in there with companies like Amazon and Walmart, and you're just not going to be competitive. And somebody can always come along and sell something for less than you. What you want to focus on is increasing value instead of decreasing the price. Consider a discount as the equivalent of a financial apology. You don't need to make financial apologies. What you should do is test. It's worth testing different price points and running a multi-price test. Now, depending on your environment, this could be electronic, or it could be even in a store, changing prices around to see what happens. There is an old saying that expensive equals good. I think Professor Cialdini made this fairly popular. Sometimes it's not about the lowest price. It's about the price that the customer feels the most value is offered. And it also is controlled by certain other factors. Dan Kennedy talks about three things being important: your opinion, your customer's opinion, and the environment in which something is sold. Of course, you're going to pay more for a cappuccino in a fancy restaurant than you are at Starbucks, because the environment dictates that the price is probably going to be higher. So knowing that, what you can do is create an environment that matches the value of what you're looking to sell. So if you are able to create a better branding, a better marketing discussion, if you're able to increase trust or authority, as we've discussed in the marketing and assets modules, then you are going to be able to charge a little bit more. The other thing to keep in mind is you need to charge enough so that you can deliver the service that you're selling. If you underbid or undercut, generally you have to cut a corner, and it is unwise for you to accept too low a price, because then you're not even happy or motivated about delivering the goods or the service. So make sure you charge what you're worth. As a general rule of thumb, people tend to undercharge significantly. Sometimes it's good just to stick to your goal, put a higher price, suck it up, see what happens, and before you know it, someone will buy and you're away. Now, another thing to really avoid is getting drawn into comparisons. You don't want the spreadsheet shopper, and you don't want to be doing quotes. There's a simple technique for this. Just don't do quotes. I've found it very effective to put packages up there and to lead people to packages either directly if you're in a business-to-business market or via a survey if you're in a business-to-consumer market. If you put a survey between the customer and the packages, it allows you to filter their responses and to tailor a solution that is just right for them that also happens to be one of your packages. Or you can make up bundles of your predetermined packages and create an excellent solution from what you already have standing by in your business. If you are drawn into a comparison, try and create an oranges to apples comparison. Show why your product is so different that nobody else can compete. We talked about having a defensible position in the strategy module. This is very important. Make sure that no one else can compare you against another player in the market, that you have something different, something special, something that no one else has. We call that the black box. Other things that help pricing are genuine scarcity, either scarcity in volume or scarcity in timing. If something is not available, then that can drive the price up. It's a simple supply and demand scenario. Also, people want what they can't have. If you do have something scarce, you can hold it back until you're ready, and that creates demand, and the sale is actually much easier. The main thing around pricing is have a theory about what you think will happen, put it out there, measure, learn what you can from it, and make adjustments accordingly. My final note on pricing is if you can possibly have your own comparison that allows a customer to choose between two or three versions of your own product, that actually makes it a much easier situation. Now they're comparing you against something and something within your own business rather than one of yours and one of someone else's. Of course, conversions are crucial for cash flow. It's okay to have business coming through your door, but you need to actually turn them into sales. The way that you can help conversions are to do your testing. Test with analytics, test with software, test with observation, test with any sort of data that you can get access to, and of course, keep an eye on it. If you have an online business, you could be using SpeedDash to pull in your analytics from Google. If you can increase your conversions by even just 1% or 2%, quite often that is the same impact as having a huge influx of fresh traffic. So work hard on the conversions. And the thing about conversions is it's probably not the sexiest topic, like traffic and getting customers, but keeping customers and having a higher proportion of the ones who you deal with is actually the better game because it's easier and nobody does it. Now, in simple terms for cash flow, we're talking about profit. And the best way to make a profit is to take your revenue, subtract your costs, and you end up with a profit. And I want to tackle one of the biggest myths in business here. If you're bringing in $100,000 in revenue and your costs are $50,000, you make a $50,000 profit. And do you want to have a guess at what most business owners do? They focus and obsess on how can they reduce that $50,000 so that they could increase their profit or their percentage of profit. And I want to give you a heads up. You can only ever cost cut 100%. So the maximum you could remove in this scenario would be $50,000. And then you would have a $100,000 profit. You could double your profit. Wow. It looks okay, except there's a trade-off. The problem is if you're not spending the money, then you'll probably decrease your revenue, or now you're working in the business more because you're not hiring that project manager or that salesperson. You're not investing in marketing, or you're not getting a third-party supplier to fulfill products and services that you sell. So what I do is encourage coaching students to spend more money, not less money. Let me show you what this looks like. Now we spend an extra $450,000 into marketing and systems and third-party suppliers, cost of goods sold, except the extra marketing and the extra leverage created from that now brings us $1 million in revenue, and we make a $500,000 profit. So our revenue and our expenses and our profit has all gone up to a factor of 10. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather $500,000 profit than $50,000 profit. But to get there, we had to spend an extra $450,000. And I would say treat it as an investment rather than an expense. The key to knowing this is, of course, to look at all the numbers. And you have to do this on a quarterly or monthly or weekly or daily basis in some cases. And you want to assess all areas of revenue as separate buckets. In the wealthification exercise, you'll see how we do that with a spreadsheet. When you're investing more, now you start to get a real business. And here's the good news. You can probably sell your business for somewhere between 12 and 60 times your monthly profit. Or if it's a traditional business, it could even be somewhere around 3 to 10 or 12 times the annual profit. So you want to get the profit number up, and that's what cash flow is all about. So how do you get cash flow? This is the formula. It's pretty straightforward, right? L times C times dollars times F times M percentage equals P. Let me run you through this. The first part is leads. We need to get more leads coming in to our business. That's pretty straightforward. Once they arrive, we need to convert them into customers. So that's our percentage. Then we multiply that by the amount that the customer spends on our products or our services. And then how many times they purchase. Do they purchase one or two or three products? And then we work out our margin. So we have to take out the cost of goods sold, all of our fixed and all of our variable costs, our marketing costs, our supply, delivering and customer service, rent, electricity, wages, you name it. I know it's pretty tough having a business, but if you do all that right, you should end up with a profit. Now, let's see what this looks like with real numbers. We take 100 leads, we convert 5% of them into customers at $1,000 per sale, and we sell two products at a 20% profit margin, we'd made $2,000 in profit from those 100 customers. Now, this might take a day, it could take a week, it could take a month, it could be a year per customer. It's not important, but what I do want to show you is a little exercise. Have a look what happens if we can just increase these metrics by 10%. If we get 110 leads instead of 100 and we convert 5.5% of them instead of 5% and we sell something for $1,100 because we've increased the value rather than discount and we've got a customer follow-up program and a remarketing program to our existing customer base so they tend to buy a little bit more often, 2.2 times instead of twice. And we've managed to get a better deal on our supply. So now we have a 22% profit margin. Guess what happens to the profit? It's not just 10% more. It's a substantial increase. It goes from $2,000 up to $3,221. Now, if this is just one customer, imagine if you had hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of customers. That's what happens in your business. So I encourage you to go and focus on each part of this formula and explore and develop ways that you can improve each part of it using the wealthification training. And of course, the key to it is to analyze everything. What gets measured gets done. And what you want to do is analyze all of your sales, create a spreadsheet, have a look at today's sales, your month-to-date sales, your forecasted sales, your average sales per day, your average value of each sale, how often you make a sale, which one of your salespeople sells the most, or which one of your websites sells the most. Analyze your reports, check your spreadsheets, track, test, and measure. If you use PayPal, then I strongly recommend you use Puttler. If you don't, then at least use something like Xero to get all of the numbers. Scale it out, break it down, and score your business divisions and see if you can boost them all just 10% across the board. You'll see this in the exercise module of wealthification.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.